Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new, fully chemically altered version of Gaming Uncensored. And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude? I'll explain that in a second.
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm good. And if you were watching the video, y'all totally got that open because Tommy was sucking down coffee like Winnie the Pooh going for some honey or so. Like, what was that, bro?
You gotta be like, caffeinated.
Like, you gotta get every drop. Seriously.
I got two quick stories for you. That's where I was planning on going here at the top. But why I'm down in coffee really quick. So one, had family in town this weekend.
Right.
So we're a couple of days behind on getting the show to what we thought we were going to do because of that. But one of the parts of having Grammy in town is that Grammy just sleeps with Genevieve all night, which
right.
is fantastic because we don't have to worry about her in the night. And that's great.
Yeah.
And she's a terrible sleeper. Even at three now, she's still just as a bad sleeper. But they went home, obviously. And so last night, Genevieve needed somebody to snuggle. So about 3 o'clock this morning, that was my job. So got to have some coffee for that. And the other day, I guess it was on Mother's Day, I made a big brunch because my mother-in-law was in town and for the sexy sidekick, of course, celebrating there. We had mimosas, which was great, you know, some mimosas. But we had that on Sunday morning. I didn't have a cup of coffee, and I always have a cup of coffee in the morning, and I usually have a cup of coffee in the afternoon. I didn't have a cup of coffee on Sunday morning, and I had like serious caffeine withdrawals Sunday afternoon, like the splitting headache, like immobile headache, like just dying without my caffeine fix. And so, yeah, today I'm definitely getting the caffeine fix to make sure.
Okay, so maybe I'm drinking the wrong type because, you know, I have drank a lot of soda in my life. You've been around me. You know how much soda I drink. Now we're down on the soda. I still have one on occasion, especially when I go to my grandmother's house. I walk in the door and I say, "Do you have a soda I can steal?" Because that's what grandmas are for.
Sure,
you know?
Absolutely.
Like, that's the thing that you do. And so I still occasionally have one, but I have coffee every day. But I'm like you. This is what I don't understand. I have coffee every day, but I can do without it. Either I have an extraordinarily high tolerance for caffeine, or it just doesn't affect me like it does everybody else. Because if I gotta go a day or two, I don't really feel it.
Yeah.
And it's a weird kind of, because I've heard people talk like you talk, like I gotta have it every day. I like it. I want it. But it's, if I don't get it, which is part of my life, you know, some days I get it and some days I don't, because of what I'm doing on a given day, I don't have to have it. And so maybe I am not drinking the right coffee Maybe there's some like super secret club coffee out there that's uber caffeinated that I'm not drinking. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
I don't know either. It's not something that ever used to happen to me. And I wasn't an everyday coffee drinker until we had a kid. That was the thing that put that over the edge. Part of it is I was just trying to think, like, when was the last time I just didn't have a cup of coffee in the morning? And I just couldn't figure it out. Like, I was thinking back and it's been months, probably, you know. I'm sure I've skipped a day here or there and didn't have a headache that bad. I've never had it like that. That just knocked me out. But
well, you know, the mimosa probably didn't help,
right? Yes. Yeah. instead of coffee, I had a couple of mimosas and nothing else to drink for a chunk of the day. So that was, it was probably a compound thing that happened there. So
called dehydration.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I am also, you will see me kicking this back too during this show. I am also about the hydration after having a kidney stone. I drink enough water every day. I am big on that because kidney stones suck.
Yes, they do.
Don't recommend that at all.
Because you've had a kidney stone, I now drink a copious amount of water every day. Because I don't need that.
Yep. Don't screw around with that.
Yeah. So I got to tell you why I opened the way that I did. Because I've had my coffee today, and I have found, on top of the coffee, I have found a new treat. And I think I can talk about this, because we're all adults here for the most part. If you're under the age of 18, please seek your parents for approval before you do what I'm fixing to be talking about. But we had this thing where you used to live and where I currently live in Canyon now, that's new, that hasn't been there very long, called the Honey Store. And for the life of me, I cannot remember the official name of the thing. But it has gone from this little thing to, who are the people in Waco with the whole spread? The people, it's getting to that point.
Gotcha.
Right? And it's on the outskirts of Canyon. I can't remember the name of that place that I'm trying to reference.
Yeah.
But you Magnolia know what I'm talking something. About.
Yeah. So that's people that are on HGTV. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
So this honey store is not quite there, but it's going that way, and it's done by a husband and wife who had jobs, and they got bees and just went crazy to the point that they got to quit their jobs, and this is all they do. Well, it turns out that the husband apparently is a chemist, and they have started making CBD products.
Nice.
And you know, I haven't talked about it on the air, but I've used some oil here and there, and it's kind of been okay. But the Honey Store has these gummies, and I don't know what it is about these gummies that are different than the oil, because the oil is supposed to be stronger than the gummies, but the gummies hit me just right. And they are like my new favorite thing.
Nice.
And like, you're somebody, we've talked about this before, you're somebody that is not a fan of being out of control.
Yep.
But, and I'm curious, because you're going to be here in like 2 weeks. And I want you to try one of these or two of these and just see what they do.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, whenever I take one, it's not like, woo!
Sure.
But I'm certainly in a different headspace. So
yep.
I'm very curious when you get here. We're going to have to go get some stuff to sample.
Yeah, for sure. I have partaken of CBD oil just a little bit, because the sexy sidekick uses CBD oil just to help her sleep.
Yeah.
And so we have
some around. See, that's my thing. That's my thing. I can take this and I can sleep.
Yeah.
Like, and sleep is a problem that I have.
Yeah.
So
So I've tried it a little bit. It's never, you know, made me feel weird or anything like that. So I'm all for it. Absolutely. we're going to be partaking of some bourbon during that, more so that's going to hit us, I think. So
yes,
I think we're going to be sleeping fine.
And I've been told as of this morning that since you're going to be here, my dad's like, yeah, we're going to take a little vacation. So you guys just have fun.
Nice.
So that's what we're doing that week. We gave that. So yeah, you're going to get a lot of really fun content from us during that week. And we may or may not be totally coherent. So we'll just see how that goes. Couple of things before we start. I know we got a lot of big news, but I got a couple of big questions for you, sir.
Sure.
So you've had a big week because it was Mother's Day this week.
Yep.
And yesterday
yep.
was your 18th anniversary. Thank you, Facebook, for reminding me of that.
Sure.
And when I saw that, you know what I realized? That I don't think you have realized? We have known each other nearly as long as you've been married to your wife.
Just about. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really, honestly, me and the Sexy Sidekick got married in 2003. Do some basic math there, right? You and I started doing this show in 2005.
Yeah.
And we knew each other for the better part of a year before we started doing the show.
Right.
So, yeah. yeah. You and I have been friends for nearly as long as the Sexy Sidekick and I have been married.
Is that not freaky? Does that not freak you out?
It's pretty wild. Yeah, it's a little nuts.
It is crazy. So, in that vein, I've been watching you play Miles Morales, and then I'll explain to you why I'm going this way in a minute. I've been watching you play Miles Morales. Miles Morales is great, and we can talk more about that. But I have a question. In this relationship, which one of us is ganky? Like, that's what which one of us is ganky?
It feels like a loaded question.
I don't think it's fair to either one of us, because I don't think either one of us really deserve to be that lame. So, just something that I thought about.
I don't quite have the same animosity towards Genki that you do.
I mean, he's fine.
He's not, eh, you know.
I can't stand him.
When you go through the whole of the original game with MJ as the telephone sidekick, it's definitely a letdown compared to that, you know?
Yeah.
Like the relationship between Peter and MJ is a lot of fun. The relationship between Miles and Genki is a little bit different. He's exactly the buddy character from the new Spider-Man movies, you know, like, I don't remember what that dude's name is, but
he's a very similar kind of,
it's basically the same character, and it's fine, like, it's whatever, like, they're just nerdy, they're kids, you know, like, that's one thing we talked about the Spider-Man game, is that Peter Parker's been Spider-Man for a long time at this point in the Spider-Man game, which makes it kind of fun, and that's one of the things we really liked about it. And then obviously with Miles Morales just became Spider-Man and still a kid, still in high school. You know, it's very much that kind of origin story Spider-Man thing, but with Miles instead of Peter. And so they're like dumb high school kids at times too, right. You know, except for one of them's a supervillain, and that's weird. But, you know, aside from cheesy comic book story.
Can I be totally honest? I kind of dig that. I kind of like... That she is that. Like, the more that I've been watching that, I that's kind of cool.
Yep.
It's cheesy, but it's cool.
I mean, it's comic book cheesy, right? Like, let's be real honest about comic books. Most of them are darn cheesy. which is half the fun of it. Like they're supposed to be campy, you know, like, but right. Not all, but most, especially Marvel and DC stuff and that kind of stuff. Like, it all has its campiness to it. And that's part of the fun. And that's one of the things I think they really executed well in the game, is they kind of capture that just kind of campy video or comic book thing in a video game. And again, it's just so well done. It's just not even close to me. There's never been a comic book game nearly as good as no, Spider-Man. And, no. And Miles Morales is very, very close, very similar.
They're very similar, but Miles is very clearly a step down.
You think so? But so tell me why, because you sent that in a message. I was curious if you're thinking about that. I don't know that I disagree, but I'm kind of curious to what your thought process is.
It's like, to me, it's like, and the comic book is very much the same way. I read 3 issues of the comic book, and then I haven't got back to it because, you know, after that intro that I did last week where I told you I did all that stuff, yeah, I've done nothing this week. So I haven't got back to that. But it's kind of the same way that I feel with the comic book. They're still, especially in the game, they're still trying to figure out who he is and what his deal is. And the whole thing's kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing's kind of like, we're not really sure about it. And the comic book, and this is something that I was going to bring up last week, and I didn't, because it's sort of kind of serious, but the comic book brings up something that I did not expect, that I kind of dig, that they don't really talk about in the game so much, but they might before it's over, which is, Miles is essentially thinking, dude, I don't want to be Black Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be Spider-Man. I don't want everybody to be pumped because I'm black. I want to be Spider-Man. And I'm like, that's really cool. I really dig that. And so because of that, he's just awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just really awkward.
Yeah. That's fair. I do think on that just general point of kind of narrative and storytelling, I do hear you say Miles Morales is a step down there. I really think that the original game executed so well on that. It was going to be hard to live up to that. And I think Miles Morales does a good job, but yeah, isn't quite there. The rest of it's really great, though. You know, the gameplay and visually, like, that's the thing that I've just noticed. Even with the PlayStation 5 version of Spider-Man with all of the add-ons, all the extra content, DLC, whatever, it's still just not as pretty as Miles Morales is. And maybe some of it's the fact that Miles Morales takes place in the winter, and so you've got like this snowy New York and weather effects and that kind of stuff. But with the ray tracing and everything else, I don't know. It just stands out a lot more to me in Miles Morales.
Can we say that New York in the winter is just insane? Like, it's jaw-dropping. It's absolutely jaw-dropping.
It really is. It's gorgeous. One other thing I'll mention that I've I don't know if I love or hate that's a PlayStation 5 thing, is the fast travel. So now the fast travel is incredibly convenient. Now, in the original game and playing it on the PlayStation 4, if you did the fast travel, like, it was okay, but it still took it, you know, a good, you know, like 30 seconds to a minute or whatever to load. And so I would really only use it if whatever my destination was like across town, and it was just going to take me way longer to web sling there. But with the PlayStation 5, the fast travel is basically instantaneous. You're anywhere on the map. You choose wherever you want to go on the map, and you just pop out of the subway station. Like, it doesn't even have the little animation like the original did.
And look, I know what they're trying to do, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I just wanted to say before you finish this, I've watched you do it, and I hate it. I know why you're doing it, because it saves time. I get it. You only have so much time to play games, but I hate it.
Yeah. And that's kind of my love-hate relationship with it, right? Is that, like, if I hadn't have played the original, I would just be missing so much of the city by not having that fast travel accessible. And that's why I don't really question it right now, because I do want to get done with the game because I want to play other games too, you know?
Right.
But I've really thoroughly enjoyed this. I'm going to get pretty close to, this is about as close to a completionist run of a game that I've ever done. You know, like I'm doing everything right in the game because it's a smaller game and then I can kind of justify doing all of that. But I'm not doing all that if I don't have the fast travel option, you know, available to me that I can hop around the city to get to all the little things. And so it really has changed how I've played it. While the trick is, and this is an interesting design thing that they chose to do, is that when you unlock the fast travel in the game, which is very, very early in the game, it just opens up fast travel for the entire map, right? Like every subway station is now accessible. And there's a billion of them, you know, there's a subway station on every other corner in the game. And so you could basically just teleport wherever you want to go on the map, which is both a design choice and, you know, the benefit of this hardware that has, you know, very, very, very fast drive read times because it's this great solid state drive or whatever. And so having that combination of things, yeah, is interesting insofar as what are other developers going to do with this power?
And I'm interested that you came at it the way that you did, because just the last couple of days, like seriously, you've been on a roll the last couple of days, so much so that all I've had time to do is watch you play Spider-Man. It's taken me 3 days to get through all of the video that you put up so far. So I've watched a large chunk of it over the last week, and I haven't done anything else. And I really thought you were going to come on the air today and say, "Oh, I love this because I can just travel everywhere." The more I see it, I hate it. I just because it's not. This is a very get off my lawn thing, but it's not Spider-Man.
Sure,
like Spider-Man, he don't need a subway.
Yeah.
Like he's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So and like I dug the whole bit with Uncle Aaron and the subway pass, and he's like, "Yo, did I get the name right?" Yeah. And I thought, okay, there'd be a couple of uses for that, but it's just like you can just go anywhere, and it's like, okay. Dude's coming out of the subway as Spider-Man. I'm like, yeah, that ain't gonna happen. Nope.
Yeah. Well, I do appreciate one of the things that it feels like they were also cognizant design-wise in doing is in the missions making you have to traverse a large distance. Like a lot of the, especially the side missions are like, okay, now you've got to go find something that's on the other side of the city or, you know, like a decent way. But part of it, too, is like a lot of this game takes place in Harlem. Like it's very neighborhood focused, which is different than the original title is, too. So even though you have the whole map and you use the whole map, you go around the whole map, especially for the main storyline. The kind of big side mission stuff really is centralized to Harlem. And so you get this kind of more intimate feel of this one part of the city, at which point fast travel doesn't matter because you're only going from, you know, block to block. And so you don't care. And so there are some design ways that they kind of leaned into that and still made you feel a part of this city without feeling a part of the whole city as much. And of course, you can just web sling everywhere if you want to.
Yeah.
But after a while, like, I love the web slinging in Spider-Man. It's brilliant. It's so well done. But after a while, it's point A to point B, you know, like after a while, you've kind of done it all. And so it's fun. But if I could just teleport, okay. If I've seen everything I want to see in the city, more or less, you know, then I don't care. A basically instant teleport system. Because again, that's what it is. Like really, it's a step beyond what fast travel is in some games in that it gets you close. Like this is basically getting you right to your destination in an instant, which is still a difference.
There are a couple of things that if we had time I would like to see. Like I don't even realize if you knew where you were, but you were at one point you were at the top of the Empire State Building, like just nearly at the tip.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, turn the camera. Dude, turn it. Like, I'm talking to the TV. Turn the camera. Turn the camera. Because I knew where you were. Like, I could see it.
Yeah.
And that view I wanted to see.
That's fair. And I've done that a few times at different places. I got to tell one story of just my jaw hitting the floor visually. But really quickly before that, like part of it is I've done that. You know, I did that with Spider-Man. I did that with Peter in the original. And this is obviously prettier because it's PlayStation 5 and everything else. But there is like that bit of novelty of, oh, I'm on top of the Empire State Building or I'm on top of the Chrysler Building or whatever. And just wanting to like survey the city has gone away a little bit because I've already done it. Again, this is a little bit new. But the one moment that I just, and I don't know if you picked this up watching it because I sat there for like 5 minutes doing this. One of the suits is a helmet, like a Daft Punk style helmet.
Yeah, with the eyes that light up. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's got like the you know, all these like LEDs and stuff. And there's a quest, a side quest where you're helping this guy find this like pigeons or something. But you go up on top of one of these rooftops and go talk to him. And the first time I noticed this is actually because the game bugged out on me. It crashed. It wouldn't let me proceed. And Miles was just stuck there in that kind of close up, can't hardly move view or whatever. But in that moment, I noticed while I was just moving the analog sticks around, the reflections in this glass helmet of like the buildings around. Like you could just see the buildings around it reflecting in this helmet in real time. Like you're moving the camera around and I was like, that's it. That's the thing that I've been waiting to see in ray tracing that like makes me go, oh my goodness, like this is beyond anything we've ever done before.
Here's all my money. Just take all my money and let me have this in every game that I've got.
And it's a very small scale thing. Note, like not all the buildings look like you don't go up to every like glass building and see all these great reflections. You have to get really close and it's still fairly limited. But it's still like just seeing the progression of visual fidelity in real time like that, super cool. I was in awe. I just sat there for like 5 minutes, like instead of being at the top of the Empire State Building and looking around the city being in awe, I was staring at the top of Miles's head looking at the reflection of skyscrapers in his helmet in awe. But that was the moment that really dropped my jaw. That was just like, this is freaking cool.
What I wish they had done, and I made a comment about one of the suits. they got really funky with some of the suits, and even to the point that some of them have headphones like in the suit.
Sure,
like he's got a headphones around his neck, and I really feel like where they missed out, and I understand why they did it, but this kid should have had music in his ears.
Yep.
Like every time you go up to a web sling, there ought to be music in his ears. And this is one of those situations where I don't want you or I to be able to pick the music. I want Miles Morales music. I want somebody to script it out and say, okay, if Miles is web slinging, you're going to hear this.
Yeah.
And I wish they had done that.
Yeah, there's like the epic orchestration whenever you go into like web slinging mode. That's super cool. But like, it was really cool. Sorry to my camera thing.
Yeah, that weird got thing. It.
That works, I think, really well for the Peter Parker Spider-Man because that feels more cinematic, you know, whatever. But yeah, I would love a really cool soundtrack for Miles Morales that was, you know, kind of following you there. There should be a much deeper. Once you watch Into the Spider-Verse and then you come to this, you're like, okay, that's definitely missing.
Yeah, because I think it would change a lot. And I get, for those of you that have been paying attention to me on Twitter, I get a huge kick out of the audio that's in there. And I know that you missed some of it because, again, you're in a hurry. But the audio that they put in with the podcast and the way that they did things is so well done.
Yeah.
So it's like it's stupid. And if you sit and listen to it, like, you will laugh. Like, I have laughed out loud at J. Jonah Jameson because what will happen is you'll play part of one, and I'm like, okay, I know he's not going to get to the end of this, so then I go to the internet and pull it up and hear the rest of it. And then one, he's complaining because the intern, Jared, put one sugar in his coffee instead of two sugars, and he's screaming, it's been two sugars for 40 years. Two sugars. Not one sugar. Two sugars. And he's just screaming, and it's the most hilarious thing. And they've done a fantastic job.
They have.
And so what they did with the audio, they did really well. I just want more.
Yeah, the music thing, I think, is the biggest part of that's just not really there, and would be cool if it was. So that said, we do have quite a bit of news to talk about.
Yep.
So we should jump into that. We'll get into that here in just a second. Lots of Apple and Epic stuff, which is fascinating. It's crazy. So we'll get into that. But first, shout out to the Patreon guys: Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew.
Real quick Duff story, real quick before we go. Duff is requesting, he just got a PS5.
Nice.
And of course, Duff, being who Duff is, has hooked it up to his nice 4K monstrosity of a TV that is G-synced and 120 hertz and all of that. And so, like, he tells me that he got the PS5, and he's like, dude, you got to tell Tommy to go get a better screen. And what made me laugh about that was, he tells us that all the time, but I got a call from Chad on my birthday, and Chad was just saying happy birthday, and we're talking about stuff, and we got around to Duff, and he said, you know, him and his wife Dawn should really just call you guys dependents on their taxes for all the crap that they send you. Like, it's to that point. Like, it's awful. Like, I don't, they should really just put you guys on their taxes, right? Yeah. And it made me laugh because it never stops.
Yeah.
every week I get a text from Duff saying, you guys gotta have this. And so that's his new thing. Now that we have a PS5, we got to get a screen to hook it up to.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like for the first time, really, like, I'm missing a significant bit of fidelity because of my screen. It's always been like, oh, yeah, it probably would look a little bit better. But now, yeah, with higher resolutions, even if it's not all the way up to 4K, but even doing 1440 or whatever, like, making some progress there, and I yes, just, I could see, like, where higher refresh rates now matter more, where, you know, all these things that just haven't been there. So yeah, that's the next thing on the list for sure. So
yeah,
by the way, if you're a Patreon supporter, go by the Patreon to watch this episode. Jamie, less shaggy.
Less shaggy.
Still got the beard, which I like. It's looking really good at this point. Like, now it's not like the taking over your face beard anymore, like mine is.
See, if you didn't,
it's like an actual, like, trimmed down, like, sleek looking beard.
If you'd have seen me like a week ago, like, it was just stubble, and I really dug it. Like, it was a good look.
Yeah,
I'm starting to look like the dirty homeless guy right here. Is what I got going. But yeah, I cut my hair and cut the beard, and I feel much better.
I bet.
Yeah, much better.
It takes a long time to get used to.
It does.
All that said, let's talk about some news real quick. Apple versus Epic, that's gonna be the big thing that we're gonna talk about. So this has been coming for a long time. We talked about the kind of genesis of this story months and months ago, which was this kind of battle between Apple and Epic over Fortnite specifically, but broader than that, about how Apple regulates the app store, and specifically the fact that Epic wasn't able to have their own like in Fortnite transactions that didn't go through Apple, that wouldn't go through the App Store, that they could right. do sell, you know, their whatever dances, costumes, things, skins, whatever. I don't know Fortnite well enough to know all these things, but that they could sell them directly to the consumer without Apple taking a 30% cut of that, because everything that goes through the Apple App Store, they get a 30% cut of. And so obviously Fortnite being a free to play game, Apple's not making money on just the app itself necessarily. So they're really right. relying on getting a cut out of those microtransactions. Epic is saying, no, that's not the way we want to do things. And so Apple was like, well, if you don't do things the way we want, we're going to take it down. And Epic was like, aha, well, look at this. We're going to try to make a way to get around it. And then Apple said, yeah, we don't dig that. And they took it off. And we talked about all that stuff, whatever. And so Epic sued, basically saying Apple holds a monopoly over the ability to sell content on this platform. That's a massive platform that, you know, obviously a sizable chunk of mobile devices in this country and worldwide are Apple products. And the fact that you can only get an app if it's approved through the App Store process, and you can only have transactions that Apple takes a cut of, seems like there's a valid argument there. I think there's good arguments on both sides. I'm really fascinated to how this case turns out, but we'll talk about the merits of that point here a little bit in just a second. But the other thing that this has done is just blown up like this big discovery process of this court case. That's now all this stuff that's become public about Epic, about Apple, about Microsoft. Microsoft's a big part of this. And so there's just like random emails that have come out to like public knowledge through the exploits of this case. And it's not over. It's probably going to last the rest of this month before it ever gets to a decision. And so we're going to find out more fascinating things. And so it's just been this treasure trove of like insight to the business of video games, which, you know, is something we talk about on a fairly regular basis, but we don't usually get this much of a nuanced view to the internal workings of it. And so there's this bigger thing about like the App Store and control and all that kind of stuff. There's also all these little kind of spin-off stories that've come off of it that have been fascinating. So let's start with the bigger question. This whole thing's about with Epic and whether or not they have a point that there should be another way to access content on an Apple device. Just on an Android, you can go and you can download apps not off of Google Play. You can download them directly off the web or whatever. That's just not possible.
I have an Android, by the way. I can verify you. Like I gotta tell you a story real quick since we're on this. You can do fancy things on an Android that you can't do on an Apple device, such as spoof your GPS. I'm not going to tell you why I did that, but you can do that. Yeah. And it's like an Android is like owning a PC. Like if you know how to use it and get around it, it's an extraordinarily powerful device. We love Apple. We have Apple computers. You have a new one. I have an old one. I need a new one. And if Elon Musk would get off his butt and do some more tweeting about Dogecoin, I could probably buy a new one. We can talk about that later. I say all that to say we love Apple, but I don't know that I'm interested in an iPhone at this point, because I know what an Android phone can do, and I don't really want to give that up.
This is my thing with that, because I don't disagree, but I have an iPhone, so right. I come to it as an iPhone user. One of the things I love about having an iPhone is that, like, I'm pretty confident of the quality of apps. I'm never worried about downloading anything. I don't have any concern about bricking my phone or anything like that. And I'm sure, you know, like, it's just the same thing like a PC and a Mac, you know, like on my Mac, I don't ever think about viruses, you know, just don't have to, just don't even care. Like, of course there's viruses that can get your Mac, but they're a whole lot more rare, and it's, you know,
You gotta be real stupid.
You gotta be really stupid to get a virus. That's right. PCs aren't a whole different thing. I could do a million more things with my PC, and I use my PC every day too, obviously, and gaming wise, of course. But I love my Mac for work because my Mac is a much more controlled, protected ecosystem, and yep. and my phone is too. And I'm okay with that because as far as apps go and games specifically, there's nothing that's on Android that's not on this. It's not like a PC
right.
where I'm always going to have a PC because I game on a PC. I'm sure there's like a different gaming culture on Android devices, but I don't think significantly because most people or a significant share of the market are, right. are these guys here. And so you're going to have everything there. So I do appreciate it. And I'm kind of, you know, personally, I don't know where I fall on this because like in my head, I'm like, I'd be really cool if you could download non-approved app store approved apps, even like for just basic stuff. I think of like stuff that I do on a regular basis that I want, you know, like an iPad app for speaker simulation. And there's just no good ones on the app store because there's not a big enough market for somebody to go through the work to get it approved, you know? But if it was open, people would make them and you could go and download them, you know, on, you know, from some random dude on GitHub or whatever and have a simulator that would run as an app on your iPad. And, that's a place that I'm sure there's something that exists on Android for, but doesn't exist in the Apple ecosystem. But it's also something that could break your phone. And so, you know, like.
Let's be honest and say that we're smart people and most of the people that are listening to the show are smart people. And even though Apple has those restrictions, there are ways to get around those restrictions. And I have apps on my laptop that are not Apple-approved apps.
Oh, sure.
Like, we have Google. It takes 5 minutes to figure out how to get around that. The reason that Apple is the way it is for those people like my grandmother or somebody like that that doesn't need to be downloading random stuff from random places. So it's not like it's totally locked down, but it's locked down for 95% of the world.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And the level of lockdown between a Mac computer and your iPhone are two different levels as well.
Yes.
Obviously, there's a lot more stuff that you can access on the computer than you can on the phone. And you can jailbreak your phone still, and you can get apps that way. Like, there's ways around it. But there's just nothing compelling enough to make me want to do that on an iPhone. Again, part of the reason I have an iPhone is for that control, you know? And so part of me says, if Epic's successful here and suddenly there's other app stores that pop up, I'm of course going to want to check them out. But then, you know, like, is it kind of losing some of the benefit of an iPhone? Whatever. The 30% cut thing, which Epic has an issue with as well, which, okay, whatever. But that's pretty standard, honestly. I believe Sony has a 30% cut. I think Steam's is ballpark there. I think theirs is variable on some different things or whatever. But, like, that's not, like, a unreasonably high per other competitors' value. Of course. Okay,
so just to give you a ballpark, I have a book on Amazon. If you haven't bought my book, you should go to Amazon and buy my book. But my book is on Amazon, and Amazon gets way more than 30% of my book. It's not significant. Let me just put it to you this way: it's $15 on Amazon. And I get less than half that if you buy a copy of my book on Amazon. So 30% sounds like a lot. It's really not for the world's biggest app store.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fair, I guess. I don't know. That's a conversation that's being had around it. But at the end of the day, there is an interesting antitrust case about how much control should a company with this much reach have? How much should they be able to lock out competitors from having, you know, access? And you know, with in the case of Epic specifically, just pulling their game because they're unhappy of how they kind of tried to circumvent the rules, you know? I think Epic has a good point. I don't know legally if it's going to hold up. I'm just fascinated to see how it works. I don't have a strong opinion, but
I'm thinking the Apple lawyers are probably better and more expensive than the Epic lawyers.
I would guess.
That's just a guess.
I think that's probably fair. That said, some of the interesting things that have come out with kind of the discovery process here, Epic paid, let me find the exact number here really quick, $146 million to 2K for exclusivity for Borderlands 3. So Borderlands 3 came out a couple years ago, was exclusive to the Epic Store, was their, maybe their first really big get, right? Even just 2 years ago, the Epic Store was still very new. They paid $146 million for PC exclusivity for Borderlands 3. And made a chunk of that back within just a week or two of selling the game. So obviously, if you wanted to play Borderlands 3, which a bunch of people did, you had to go to the Epic Store to do that. And so they got a bunch of the money back just based off of selling the software. And then they got this massive user base that came over too, right? Because that's what Epic really cares about. And that's the whole thing with the free game giveaways that they do and everything else. The goal there is just to get more people on their store to download their software, and that they could give you little pop-up messages at the bottom of your screen to tell you when a game releases or whatever, that you're now more likely to click on them, or at least have some chance of clicking on them versus Steam, right? That's their main other competitor. There's other game stores, obviously, but Epic is going for Steam. And so $46 million just for the rights to sell Borderlands 3. It's a big chunk of change.
It's a big chunk of change, but you got to remember, these are the people that are behind Fortnite. So,
and on that, just to kind of put that in review or in perspective as well. I'm trying to find the exact number here. I don't have it right in front of me, but they made, I think it's $9 billion with a B, billion dollars off of Fortnite or something like that. So they're doing okay. $143 million. Is it chump change? But they have it to spend. You know, like they're right, obviously leveraging this massive, massive title that's free that they're making massive amounts of cash on to do that. On the free games, obviously giving away a lot of free games. Just over a 9-month period, they spent more than this was the first 10 months of its existence for the free games that they did. They spent about $12 million for the right to give those games away for free. And of course, they're not making a profit off of selling those games because they're not selling them. They're letting you download them for free or whatever. But it turned into 800,000 new accounts with those titles over that first 10 months. And so $12 million for 800,000 people now using your store, again, just a no-brainer. Yeah. Like, it's just this peek into, like, Epic doing business. You kind of got to go,
they're really smart.
Good job, guys. Like, yeah. Giving away free games is pretty genius. Like, y'all are doing something here. Good on them. Another really fascinating bit of information that came out of this, and then we'll move on. But another really fascinating, that doesn't really have anything to do with anything. It's not consequential in any way whatsoever. But Microsoft did an internal review, they're calling it a competitive analysis of The Last of Us Part II, but did like a full review of the game that they released internally, but wasn't necessarily ever supposed to see the light of day. And Microsoft, shockingly enough, loved The Last of Us Part II because it's fantastic. And of course they loved it.
It is.
But it's just really, really interesting to see Microsoft say, quote, "This game sets a new bar for what we hope to achieve." Right? Like, to see the kind of intern, we know that exists, but to, like, somebody wrote that down. Somebody at Microsoft put that to words to say, that game that Sony's doing is really great, and we need to do that too.
Right. And I think what it brings to my mind is that we don't have any concept, and I hope at some point that this show gets big enough that we can go somewhere, that we get invited to Microsoft. We have friends that work at Microsoft still that we went to school with, that I hear stories about. Like, if you ever get up here, you gotta come take a look. Just like rooms of consoles and like movie theaters and just all kinds of stuff. And so all of this review stuff like you're just talking about with us with The Last of Us 2, that happens with every game that comes out. And everybody does it. Not every game, but the ones that everybody's looking at. You know Microsoft has a PlayStation in the building and there are people playing that game.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, I have a friend who his entire job at Microsoft for a while, probably talked about this on the show, but his entire job at Microsoft for a while was to watch video content that went up on Xbox Live before it went up. That's his whole job. I have no idea how much money he made doing that. But that was his job. Like, he sat in a room with good sound and good screen and watched this stuff before he went up. And so these guys are all looking at what the other one is doing and saying, how can we do that better? And I think that's part of the reason I'm going to tie all this up. I think that's part of the reason that we're seeing things like Horizon and Days Gone and some of that from Sony coming to the PC, because at some point Microsoft's like, screw it, we have to have these games because they're so good. Like we could probably do one, but why don't we just make a deal?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, with just Microsoft's general approach to the world of gaming right now with Game Pass, that's a lot of what they're doing. Yeah. It's kind of like Microsoft has become the Steam of not being Steam, right? Yeah. like doing a games as service as opposed to doing a game marketplace. Like, the Game Pass is the Steam of service-based, subscription-based games at this point. Like, they've just made themselves the thing. And just like Valve, once, like, Steam was so dominant, said, we don't really need to make that many games, you know? Right. And their development cycles just crawled to almost a halt, that you get a Valve title every 5 years or whatever, you know? I can see that. Like, Microsoft's going to keep doing Halos and Gears, you know, but not even then. It's, you know, they've kind of got a lot of that shipped out, you know. Like, good on them. Like, have your good developers working on games, but, like, get everybody's games, you know. Like, there's no reason that you just got to rely on your in-house developers to be making games.
And I mean, it's getting to the point that I'm looking at the Sony catalog, making a wish list of games, like, man, I hope they do this one next, because I really want to play that.
Yeah.
Like, that they will probably, to be honest, we'll probably play Days Gone during E3, because we'll be in the same room, and it's new enough that we probably need to download it and fire it up. But there's not a whole lot of Sony games that, and I would like to see Red Dead on the PC just to see.
Sure.
With all that being said, there's still a small amount of games that, like, yeah, I got, they can't release everything. There's only a few that we care about, and they know that.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, I saw something that was fascinating this week. I didn't even have it in show notes, but you just, that discussion kind of sparked it in my head. The top three selling games on PlayStation Network, I think this is right, for this past week, were MLB The Show, FIFA 21, and Outriders, which all three are available on Game Pass right now as well. And so the top three selling games that people are paying $60 a pop for on PlayStation Network are also available for your $15 a month or $20 a month Game Pass Ultimate subscription price, whatever it is at this point, I don't remember. But if you have the Ultimate price on console and PC, then you've got access to those games as part of your subscription. And that's kind of like, I don't think that's bad for anybody. Like, that's kind of where the industry is right now. And it, like,
and I'm wondering if the guys that are buying that are spending that money are old guys like us,
right?
That haven't figured out Game Pass yet. Like, I don't want to do that because I want to own the games.
Yep.
And, like, we said that forever on the show.
Yeah.
We were wrong. But we did. We said it forever on the show. And so I don't know how it's working. I'm glad that it is working.
Yeah.
You know, people are making money, and that's a good thing.
For sure. One other quick thing on the Microsoft story, and then I've got one more thing I want to throw in before little girl comes knocking on the door here today. Microsoft did take a dig at Naughty Dog for their gunplay just isn't great, which they're right. Not what Naughty Dog does well. Uncharted is the same way, whatever. One other quick thing I want to bring up. The 2021 World Video Game Hall of Fame inductees were announced. We kind of we talk about this every year. I just missed the kind of when they announced the nominees. So let me run through the nominees for you, and then we'll talk about who got inducted, because it's surprising to me. So the nominees were Animal Crossing. Remember, these are this series of games. Call of Duty. Farmville, FIFA, Guitar Hero, Mattel Football, Microsoft Flight Simulator, Pole Position, Portal, StarCraft, Tron, and Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Of those titles, what do you think got inducted? There's four games that got inducted. Of those titles, what four got inducted?
Whatever the first four were that you said, because the rest of those are crap. that's kind of like the baseball or the basketball Hall of Fame. Like, everybody getting in. I honestly have no idea, because that's a big list.
It is a big list.
And
so let me tell you the ones that I would think were no brainers. Okay. Call of Duty seemed like a no-brainer to me, right? Like, right. Call of Duty is so... didn't make it. That's not one of them. Okay. Guitar Hero? I really think it's going to be there someday. You know, like, it's, you know, whatever. Not this time. Guitar Hero didn't make it. Portal, okay, I get that one. StarCraft did make it. StarCraft is one that I think is a no-brainer.
I'm with it. I'm with StarCraft, yeah.
The other three, so StarCraft is one. Animal Crossing.
Okay.
Okay. Right. And just had a big game come out. Microsoft Flight Simulator. I can kind of see. It's important.
I mean, and it's been around for like 30 years. So, yeah.
The fourth one, though, was Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Which I when I think about it more, I kind of get, because the only time I ever played Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego as a video game was in computer lab in junior high, right? But that was a video game I was playing in school in the 90s in junior high, and that's kind of important. And so, when I first heard that, I was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But the more I thought about it, the more I said, no, maybe that makes sense. Maybe there's a good reason for that.
Okay, so if your logic holds, and I'll grant you that your logic makes it not sound like the stupidest thing ever, but if your logic holds, can you not tell me that the Oregon Trail needs to go into the Hall of Fame first?
Yeah, I would say that, and I think it is. Hold on just a second. little girl would like to hear you, so I got to turn up some volume here. All right, there we go.
Hey, sweetheart.
Ooh, too much volume.
Too much volume.
Got to find that balance there.
How are you today?
Good.
Good.
See?
You do, I see. Where'd you get that?
Yeah.
I'm my pie. I have a pie in the family room.
You have a pie in the family room?
So I bring this one.
Wow. Okay.
I didn't know you played with a pie.
No, I didn't play with the pie.
I like that game. You like that game? Uh-huh. You do like that game. I obviously have the show notes up here. And it was Animal Crossing that's sitting there on the screen, which she loves, the island. Yeah. And so,
I like that boy.
You like that boy. Yeah. By the way, because I just looked it up, Oregon Trail 2016. So that was the second year. So very the Oregon good. Trail already there. So you were absolutely right on that one. So
very good.
But where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
It makes Now that you've explained it, it makes sense, okay? I'm like, okay.
I got another egg in this one, see?
You got another egg in that one. Wow, yeah. Look at that. It's an egg and an egg. A little surprise.
Egg in here.
So I have a question for you. Can you answer a question for me? Mm-hmm. Where did you get your mama for Mother's Day?
I got a plant for her.
You got a what?
I got a plant for her.
You got a plant for her?
No, I got a present.
Oh, you got a present for her.
Present for her. Okay,
what was your present?
A purse.
A purse?
A purse.
A purse.
Kind of.
Awesome.
Kind of.
You didn't really pick out the purse, did you? Daddy, well, really, Mama picked out the purse.
I didn't know that.
But did you pick out some earrings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mama's earring to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also saw that you took pictures of your mom and dad over the weekend. Did you take pictures? Yeah.
You took a picture of us?
Yeah.
Was it cute?
At the park?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a good photographer?
Yeah, I'm a good photographer.
Yeah.
I bet Grammy helped with that just a little bit.
Grammy?
No, that was all her.
Grammy?
That was handed her the phone and I told her to take a picture of us and that's what she came back with.
Well, that's pretty cool.
It's pretty solid, right?
I gotta say, just for everybody that hasn't seen the pictures, you are the only dude I know that can get away with 18th anniversary pictures wearing the Astros hat that you're wearing now.
Yep.
For sure.
How does that happen?
I think what's in here is a pickle.
You think it's a pickle in there? It is a pickle?
You make me laugh. You're so cute.
One last quick thing we have to throw in game related because it's off the rails at this point. Releases this week, there is a significant one.
Where is it?
Resident Evil 8 is officially out. 84 right now on Metacritic. So
we need to play that.
We do.
Sure. Yeah.
Other stuff, I mean, there's a few other things that came out, but nothing to the level of Resident Evil, of course. And so go by the show notes, gamingUncensored.com to see other releases and things we didn't get to because there's a handful of them.
And if you are not watching this show on Patreon, you should be because he has a little girl in his lap and that's who's been chattering for the last 5 minutes.
I like this.
You like the fidget cube. And now it's clicking the fidget cube, so that's the noise you're hearing.
Yeah! She's very cute. She's very cute.
Are you very
cute? You don't have a boat today.
Yeah.
I see you don't have a boat today.
Nope. Just some big buns, huh?
Yeah, just some big buns. So we don't have to wear it.
Don't have to wear a bow.
You are super cute.
Thank you.
What are you going to do with your daddy when I'm done with him? What are you guys going to do?
I'm going to play with you, Money Daddy.
Oh, you want to play with Jamie sometime? Mm-hmm. Does that sound like fun?
I'm playing with you today. Yeah, you know.
You know, you got to come see me so I can take you for a ride. You're big enough we could go for a ride.
Does that sound like fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Horsey sometimes. I don't want to do that because
we got a horse.
Yeah!
We can put you on a horse. We can do that.
Yeah, that was
it. You know what else I got at my house? You know what else I got at my house? I got lambs.
Ooh, I didn't know that. You got a farm your house.
Yeah, I got a farm. I got lambs. I got dogs. I got cats.
That's a yard.
I got all kinds of stuff. I got like 17 cats.
17 cats. That's fun.
Yeah.
Does that sound fun?
Yeah.
We got, I bet I don't have as many cats as your as your Grammy does. But we have a lot of cats.
Yeah, we have two cats.
I have Memphis and Maui.
That's right.
What's your cat's name?
All 17 of them.
Yeah, I only know about 3 of them. I only know 3 names. The rest of them, you'll have to come and name. You'll have to name some cats because they don't have cats. Them.
Yeah, I can name some cats.
What would be a good name for a cat? We found a baby squirrel the other day. What did you what'd you name the baby squirrel?
Zensaya.
One more time?
Zensaya.
Jumps a lot.
I like it. Jumps a lot. I love it.
That was all her.
You're so smart.
Yeah. That said, we should probably wrap the show, shouldn't we?
Yeah, you know how to do that? You know what we do?
Do you remember what you say at the end of the show?
Say, this is Gaming Uncensored, and we're out.
We're out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingUncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.